Good afternoon. Don't do that to me. Good afternoon. It's good to see each and every one of you. It's been a blessing to be here all day. And for those, for many of you who, and those others who have come before and say, you know, I knew you before you knew you. It's just been a blessing. For many of you that may not know, my family has grown up at Fifth Ward, and I will always hear my father talking about walking. So my father grew up, and my aunties and uncles have grew up in Fifth Ward. They would walk down the street and make their way to come worship here. May not even know Fifth Ward Church of Christ was started in my great aunt's home. So such a rich history in being here. It's good to see my people. It's good to see my people here. I see my sister. I see my auntie, Aunt Barbara. Amen. I see my auntie, and it's good to have my brother here. And many of those, I also had some earlier at our 8 o'clock service. So it's just good to have those who are here on this morning. And I pray that we will be blessed this morning by the studying of God's word. I'll go through various scriptures. I'll make various illustrations. But hopefully and prayerfully, the reason that we've all gathered here this morning is hopefully and prayerfully we'll take a few steps closer to the cross. If you're here and you're not a Christian, it is our prayer and our intention that you will give your life to Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Regardless of how old you are or how young you are, if you're able to. Matter of fact, I told somebody, I said, if you know how to do math and subtraction, you can be saved. Because if the Bible was algebra, I wouldn't be in Christ. The Bible is not difficult. He makes it plain. Matter of fact, he speaks in a common man's language, in Koine Greek. He wants everybody to be able to receive this message. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, the only way that for you to be able to accept Jesus Christ is not about saying a prayer, and it's not about attending a worship service. You got to be able to hear that Jesus died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again. If you'll be willing to accept that message, then he's asking for you to believe and repent and turn around. And if you'll be willing to turn around and change your life and confess that he is the Son of God, you have the opportunity on this morning to put Christ in on baptism. And if you'll be willing to be baptized, he promises he'll wipe all your sins away. You'll start anew, and he will give you heaven. You won't have to work for heaven. He will give you heaven. What you must do from that point on is hold on. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you believe that your actions and your deeds have not been pleasing and acceptable unto God, you have the opportunity this morning to ask God for forgiveness. There is no reason that we should be before Christ and not each and every one of us be with a pure conscience and in a good standing when we all walk it out. You should be better being in the presence of God when you leave than when you first came. Amen. Our text this morning will be coming from 2 Samuel chapter 11. I want to thank Brother Davis for the invitation and the leadership here for giving me the opportunity to deliver the word this morning, and definitely pray with the intent that you will be blessed and edified as we study on God's word. If you don't mind going to God with a word of prayer. Amen. Holy and righteous Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all of your blessings. Dear Holy and righteous Father, we ask that you guide us. Open up our mind of understanding that we may receive your word. Please, Lord, forgive us for any sins that we've committed and let our hands be pure. Help us to walk, dear Father, uprightly before you. Be with every family, dear Father. Be with every marriage, dear Father. Be with every child. We ask that you comfort us and guide us. In your wonderful, loving, and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you don't mind singing a song with me, and then we'll dive into our text. Pass me not, O gentle sea. Please, Lord, hear my humble cry. I'm asking, Lord, why? Please, Lord, do say, and please, Lord, hear my humble.
2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning at verse 1.
I'm asking, Lord, while all others doubt, I'm calling, please, Lord, do not pass me by.
And it came to pass, and it came to pass. It wasn't immediate, but it came to pass. We're in verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass. That's where we'll begin our lesson on this evening. Brother Davis mentioned that I didn't allow people to curse around me. I had a certain mentality. If you feel bold enough and your britches are high enough that you're going to cuss in my face, then that means you've given me license to tell you about the gospel. Every time you cuss, I won't talk about Jesus. So if you don't want me talking about Jesus, then watch your mouth. But I'm still going to tell you anyway. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired that at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and siege Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. One note that I want to make here, that at this particular time, David is doing something that is not natural. David is doing something that is not normal. Matter of fact, he's off schedule. Because at this particular time, normally kings would go off to war. But David decided that at this particular time, you know what, I want to adjust my schedule. I've had a long year. Maybe it's been a little bit rough, you know, and I just want to stay at home. As you read verse 1 and you study verse 1, you begin to realize there's nothing wrong with that. At this particular point, David is not doing anything wrong. There has been no sin. He just decided, I just want to change my schedule. I want to stay at home. Here we are in verse 2. And the Bible says, and it came to pass in the evening time that David rose off from his bed. He's showing up on vacation. It's the evening time and he's just getting up. And the Bible says he rose off his bed and he decided he walked upon the roof of the king's house. Right. Now somebody asks, why did David go to the roof of his house? And the answer is because he had one. He walked out to the roof, and from the roof, he saw, well, y'all gotta understand the scene. Like, this is a regular day, nothing wrong with it. Normally I'm gone at this time, but I decided I just wanna take a break. Get up in the evening time, just kinda relax. And the Bible says he decided to walk to the roof because he had a roof. And he just kind of look around. Just kind of want to look around. Is it wrong to look around?
No.
Nah, you can't tell me it's a sin to look around. I just want to look around. Beautiful scenery. And the Bible says that as he was looking around, the Bible says he saw what? Now there's women in the kingdom, so that wasn't anything, out of the ordinary. But the Bible says that he saw a woman, and maybe this story would be different if she was unattractive. But the Bible says she was what? She just happened to be beautiful. The Bible says he saw a woman and she was washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Because maybe if she was unattractive, that would be the end of chapter 11. Here we are in verse 3. At this particular point, David has made no mistakes. Regular day, gets up off his bed, goes to the roof, looks around and just happens to, and because his house is higher than everybody else's house, he's able to look down and see this woman washing in her house. And she just happens to be what? She just happens to be beautiful. And the Bible says he inquired. The Bible says he became curious. Amen. He inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this? And maybe he had a good reason of asking, because he says, you know what? I don't know this particular person. Who is this woman? Word got back to David and said, this is Bathsheba. Her daddy is Eliam, and her husband is named Uriah, and she's of the tribe of Hittite. Now, ain't that a progress report? I just was asking her name. They said, listen, this woman that you asked about, we know her daddy. We know her husband. And we know what tribe she comes out of. Normally, at that particular point, you say, hey, thank you so much for the information, back up, and you can go on about your own business.
Amen. Come on now.
Just asking. Don't you? I was just asking. Right? But the Bible says that after he received the progress report, matter of fact, her husband works for you.
Come on now.
Know your employees. The Bible says in verse 4, David sent messengers and took her. What I want to talk about is the moment between verses 3 and verse 4.
Come on now, preach up.
And I'm hoping that our youth will be able to receive that. Because many times when you have adults and you look at children, sometimes envy can come in your heart when you look at children. Because you say to yourself, if I could just go back, oh, what decisions I would make differently. It is that moment between verses 3 and verse 4 that I want to sit in just for a moment. Here he is on the edge of making a decision. And he asked, who is this woman? But when he got the information, he's at that moment that we've all been at before.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if you've lived any amount of time, we've all been in that situation where you could have made a choice.
Come on now.
And you can make the choice of whether or not you're going to make that phone call. And if we had an opportunity to rewind, I'd take you back to that moment, you would burn that number. But you've been in a situation where you say, you know what? Maybe this isn't something I'm supposed to do. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you ignored the consequences?
Amen. Help us. Help us.
And you were so focused on satisfying your flesh, you forgot about the consequences that are waiting for you after the satisfaction?
Come on now.
I mean, it's that moment where you're standing on the roof. Now you got to understand something. When he inquired, I want you to understand what that entails. He never left his house. Which means you asked your servants to come. And then you had to point out to your servants who she was. No, the other one. That one over there. That one there. Her right there. Find out who she is. Do you know what his servants had to do? His servants had to go down and gather intel and get the information and then come back up to the king.
Come on now.
And say, this is her father, this is her husband, and this is where she comes from. Now you have David and his servants all standing on the roof, and we're at the crossroads of making a decision. You know, you ever been in a situation where you had to make a decision
whether you were going to go in the house or stay in the car, or whether or not you were going to drink, and you weren't thirsty. Peer pressure is difficult. But there's no peer pressure like the one that comes internally. What happens when you want to do something that you know is wrong, but it makes you so happy? I mean, what do you do when the thing that you want to do, I mean, as soon as you get out of worship this morning, there's some things that you want to do this evening. You know it's not good.
Right.
But it makes you feel good. But you know it hurts God.
Amen.
And you're right there between verses 3 and verse 4. And maybe you're like David, and all y'all are standing on the roof, and you're trying to make a decision about what you're going to do. And you know what he did in verse 4? He said, bring her to me. I haven't finished reading. Maybe he wanted a Bible study. Prayer meeting is tonight, and we want to make sure that we evangelize and invite everybody to come through. Isn't it funny how we rationalize our wrong? Isn't it funny how we negotiate with ourselves about the things that we know we shouldn't have done in the first place? But what I want to talk about is there are some decisions that you can make that you can quickly recover from.
Amen.
I love buffets. I grew my whole life. All I knew was buffets. It was four of us. Me and my brother, we can eat like horses. I say that in a religious way. I remember the first time going to, we called them one plate establishments. Because they only gave you one plate. Like, what is this? I was so used to a buffet. This is it? Like, we can't get no more, you know? I have passed out at many tables. And it was a bad decision. I was able to quickly recover, gather myself, and walk out. There's some decisions that you can make that you're driving and you pass up the stop sign and the police come and give you a ticket, and with $165, you can quickly recover.
Amen.
There's some decisions that you can make to where you can purchase certain things and it don't fit quite like the picture said it was going to fit, and you can quickly return it and get your money back. There's some decisions in life that you can make and you can quickly recover.
Amen.
That's right.
But I'm not talking about those.
Come on now, reach out.
There's some decisions you only need to make one time. And you'll spend the next 25 years trying to recover from an evening from 1989. Some of you are still suffering because of a decision you made in 1997. And it's long gone, but you're still dealing with the residue and suffering from the decisions you made in 2001. And this is what you say: Lord, if I could just go back. It's like I would be like the post office. If I can go back and talk to myself, hey, these are the pictures of the people. If you see them, don't you say nothing. You take off running. Don't you? These people, some people wish they could just go back.
Amen.
But you know what God doesn't allow? God doesn't allow you to go back. So what you end up doing is you try to turn around to the youth. And you don't know how to tell them that you know exactly what they're doing.
Come on now, right there.
And you want to tell them, baby, don't do that. Please put your skirt down. Please stop taking them pictures. You talking on the phone to somebody who ain't gonna be there if something pop off. How do you tell them? How do you tell them that that was your experience? But you don't want it to be their experience. And you know what we do many times? We fuss at them, but we don't share with them. This right here. The stuff that's in here has some of the nastiest, filthiest, most loving, most kind, some of the most heinous, brutal. You will find incest. You will find rape. You will find murder. You will find betrayal. You will find bestiality. This is not a clean book. It is a holy book. But it's full of filth. Now, I asked myself the question, why would God take the time out to write about all the wicked, filthy, nasty stuff that we do and his interaction with us?
Break it down.
To let you know that he knows. And he's been there before. And maybe if I share this story, you won't have to go down the same road.
Amen.
Maybe the problem amongst us is we don't share. Some of you got high last week. I just need two amens. Some of you have a weed problem. Some of you have a weed problem. It would be crazy for us to think that you don't. That amongst all of these people, somebody's not struggling with something. Somebody had sex last week and it wasn't your spouse. Like somebody in this room, somebody in this room got drunk because you're drinking your pain away. And some of you are dealing with medicinal activities. Some of you are maybe addicted to medication. For the men that is in this room, somebody's dealing with pornography. Somebody here is struggling with same-sex attraction. And you can't sit in your seat and say, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. And maybe the one who gassed, maybe it's you. So then you begin to realize, many times children already know.
Right.
They just don't know the full story. And sometimes we don't share our stories because of guilt. Because when you see your child do something that you used to do, it's hard to rebuke yourself. So you give them leeway because that used to be you, and so it's kind of difficult to, it's like you're talking to yourself, but you love yourself, so you don't say nothing and you be quiet. And they ask, why are you allowing to do such things? Because maybe in your heart, you're still there. Sometimes we stop sinning because we grow out of the convenience and opportunity to continue to do it. So I'm thankful for the Bible because it doesn't try to hide. So let me tell you the beginning of the story, but also let me tell you the end of the story. Let me show you what it can look like. So notice what it says in verse 4. David sent messengers, took her. She came in unto him and lay with her. for she was purified from her uncleanness and she returned to her house. He did not want to spend the night with her. He didn't want to hang out with her. He didn't want to ask her about her dreams. He didn't want to ask her about her family. He just said, hey, listen, bring her to me. When she came in, they had sex. And then he said, hey, clean up before you go home. And we're talking about King David. The Bible says she cleaned up. She went home. The Bible says in verse 5, and the woman what? Okay, let me explain something about the distance between verse 4 and verse 5. And then we'll understand about sin. In verse 4, he had sex with her. In verse 5, she was pregnant and she conceived. All right? There's a few days in between. And sin always shows up at an inconvenient time. Because what goes around comes back around again. The sins that I do this decade are seeds, and the fruit will be next decade. You do not always suffer from sin immediately. It always takes its time. It'll mosey on around. Matter of fact, you see politicians all the time. And they running for something, and all of a sudden, newsflash. Somebody crying with an interview. As much as we all love Bill Cosby, why are we talking about the 60s and the 70s? It's 2016. What happened in the 1960s and 70s that's hindering him in the 2016? Why is he grieving? Because decisions that he made almost 40 years ago. Amen. And some of us, we know the decisions we've made, places we've gone, things we shouldn't have done. Right. And that should be a sense of urgency that you ought to be able to sit down and tell your children, listen, I'm not perfect, but let me tell you, it's dark out there. It is a dark world. And you know what? And the world does not care.
Come on now, preacher. There it is.
The world will let you cry. The world will let you slit your wrists. The world will let you drop out of school. The world does not care if you do not get your high school diploma. The world could care less if you go to college. The world could care less of what decisions you make. It will let you ruin your life and move on past. Yes. So somebody has to care.
Yes.
Maybe. Tell me, how did you overcome temptation? You would tell a child, don't have sex until they get married. But you didn't learn what celibacy was until you got married. I believe we're in verse 5. Yeah. The woman conceived, sent, and told David. And she said, I have a child. I love the Bible because maybe if you're not willing to tell your story, God says, listen, I'll make sure you know his. And you know what? Somewhere in the world, they are constantly talking about the mistake of David. If I was David, I would say, get over it. I didn't die. Let's move on. Stop bringing up my past over and over again. But the reason why we tell these stories over and over again, because maybe somebody hasn't heard it. And maybe if you have heard it, you forgot. So he says, she says, listen, I have a child. Some of you have been there before where you made that phone call to somebody and said, hey, listen, I'm pregnant. The Bible says in verse 6, David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. Now, why is it when I told you that I'm pregnant, now you want to talk to my husband? That doesn't make sense. Is it another prayer meeting? Verse 7, when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, how the people did, how the war prospered. She said, I'm pregnant.
He said, send Uriah, because he works for him. Uriah gets there and says, yeah, what's going on? He said, hey, man, how your mama? How's the war? How's life doing? Why are we chit-chatting?
Come on now.
Matter of fact, the conversation you should have had is say, hey, I repent. Now, maybe, just maybe.
Come on now.
If David would have repented at that moment, things could have been salvaged.
Yes.
You know what's worse than the sin? It's the cover up.
Come on now.
Amen.
There's some people who have hurt you. And it's not what they did that made you angry. It's how long they covered it up. And you were looking in my face, asking me about my family, asking me about my affairs, knowing the whole time your hand was on the knife in my back.
Amen.
But he's asking about the war and how's everything prospered. And the Bible says in verse 8, and David said to Uriah, man, you've been working hard. Why don't you go down to your house? Man, I'm looking at your feet. Man, go home and wash your feet. Go wash your feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house and therefore followed him a what? Man, you need to go home and see your family. Go home and see your wife. And you know what? Give him some food. Give him some to-go plates so he can go home. So here is Uriah going home with all this mess of meat. Because what is David doing? I'm setting the scene to cover up my sin.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse 9, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his Lord and went not down to his house. You know that feeling in your gut? That when you're trying to cover up your sin and you just fear that one day it's going to get out. And you go to bed and you wake up every day wondering, are they going to find out? The Bible says in verse 10, when they had told David, saying Uriah went not down to his house. Here's the problem that I have with David. You not only sent him home, but you sent servants to watch to see if he was going to be intimate with his wife. That's twisted. To the point that the next morning the servants came back because now you're involving other people in your sin.
Right.
Saying he never went in. The Bible says here, verse 11, and Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into my house? David, matter of fact, I know I'm telling you all this, but why are you asking me about the intimacy between me and my wife? And how did you know I didn't sleep with my wife last night? He says, and to lie with my wife as you livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. But once again, I have to ask the question, why are you asking me what I do in my house? If we decide to play Bible bingo all night long, that's our business. Verse 12, David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him. He made him drunk. And even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to, even in a drunk state, still didn't go. He still didn't go. Verse 14, it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. It's a killer. Make sure you put him on the front line and you kill him. Make sure he doesn't survive. I realize that the longer you're in sin, it changes who you are.
Amen.
It's wonderful to see a youth and they have so much joy and they have so much ambition. They want to, but if you live any longer time in sin, it makes your bones crack.
Right.
Your face becomes cold.
Right.
Because you've been tussling back and forth with the darkness. And Uriah died. I was in an eighth grade. And while I was in the eighth grade, it was the summer before I went to high school. I'm in the eighth grade. We go to regionals because I'm running track. And while I'm there, I was excited because we were traveling out of town and the coaches and the chaperones was going to take us. I'm in the eighth grade. We stay in hotels. I'm in the eighth grade. I was just happy to be in the room. I didn't even care if I had a bed. I was just happy to be in the room. It was three of us that stayed. Two of my closest friends that were on the team, we all stayed in the room. Both of them were older than me. We were in a hotel. The evening time came, and the chaperones, their rooms were upstairs. All the youth were downstairs.
Come on now.
I'll let you work that out. We were staying in our room, and two rooms down were the girls. So when the party started with the chaperones upstairs, we were left to ourselves. That's one of the worst things you can do with a child. It's just leave them to themselves. Because then they have to fend off without protection. A knock came to the door. We thought it was the Jehovah's Witness. It wasn't. It was the young ladies two doors down. We all have athletic bodies. This is track team. Everybody's good. Everybody's in shape. They knock on the door and two girls come in. True story. It's me, two other guys that I'm staying with. One of the girls liked my other friend. So they cut the lights off. She jumped in the bed with him. And I'm sitting there, and the other young lady, she liked me. A song came to my head, Jesus, he will fix it. All around me every day. There are no adults. And my father and my mother are 8 hours away. Nobody is going to stop me. She tells me how much she likes me. She jumps in the bed. And she said in her own vernacular, let's get it. Now, before I tell you the end of the story, life is full of choices. And some choices can change your destiny. There are some choices that can alter your life. And you got to be very careful. I've lost friends because they took the wrong car ride and they never came back home. So I'm there and I'm a Christian. And I tell her, and I'm ashamed to say I whispered. I was afraid because I didn't know how she was going to take what I'm about to say. True story. I said, I'm waiting to tell you. She said, what? I said, okay, let's mention it. Maybe she didn't hear me. I said, I'm waiting until I get married. She looked at me. She said, what? I said, yeah. She called her other friend, let's go. Her other friend said, girl, what's wrong? She said, I want to get out of here. Yeah. Oh. She grabbed her friend and they bolted out the door. The lights came on. My friend said, hey, man, what happened? And I told him, I said, I'm waiting until I get married. Can I fast forward 2 hours later? We were all sitting on the floor of the hotel room, and I was having a Bible study with them about Christianity.
That's all right. Come on now. That's all right.
True story. And as I'm sitting there and I'm explaining to them about Christ, I'm saying to myself, this is crazy. If you don't manage your no's, if you say yes too many, matter of fact, many of us have suffered because we said yes one too many times. Now, I don't say that to say that I'm perfect. I don't say that to say that I've never sinned. I don't say that to say that I don't have my faults and I don't have my issues. I'm just saying, sometimes we talk as if other people haven't been there before. And even if you made a different decision than I made, somebody still got to tell the story of that too. I'm glad David didn't hide his story. I'm glad God decided to put it in the pages of inspiration. Because where you're super strong over here, you're weak over here. And we like to talk about our victories. We don't necessarily expose our failures.
Right.
I was a senior in high school. And like I said, only two girls came over. I was a senior in high school. I'm about to graduate. The third girl in that room that didn't come over, the last thing she said to me before school ended, is she said, and she brought up that summer. I forgot that she was even on the team. She said, you remember that? She said, they came back, they thought you were playing. But she said, I know now you are a real Christian.
Oh, that's all right.
And that was 4 years later.
Amen.
If you can manage your nose, and you can learn how to walk away.
Amen.
Lord, if we could teach our children just how to walk away.
Amen.
Oh, what pain they can avoid.
Amen.
Oh, what sorrow they can miss. Nathan came up to David and told him, you're the man. You've made a mistake, and God knows it. The Bible says that David went crying and fasting. He suffered, but God was able to forgive him.
Yes.
The moral of the story is not so much what he did. The moral of the story is that regardless of what he had done, God is willing to work with you right now.
Amen.
There's some people who brag about their past.
Right.
But expose your past only to build up the kingdom, not to brag about what you used to do.
Right.
We don't want to know how you used to cut a rug. We don't want to know what you used to do in the streets. But use it to let somebody else know who may be on their way to making the same mistake. Hey, listen, you don't have to do that.
Amen.
You can turn around. Do you know that God forgave David?
Yeah.
He continued to bless David even until he died.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Because regardless of what you've done, we serve such a loving God.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, and I'll close, I was sitting in the car with a member. And he said, he was crying. And I said, man, what is it? What is it? What is it? And he said, man, I can't tell you because you won't treat me the same. I said, just tell me, man. Just tell me. It don't matter. It don't matter because you can't preach Christ and then act a different way. So when we say Christ will forgive, Christ has to be in us to do it.
Amen. Come on now.
So, man, just tell me. Man, just tell me. He said, you remember when my son died? I said, yeah. He said, I got him back. He said, I killed him. I won't give you the details because it's real bad, but at the end, I still have the same message to him. We may have to call 911, but that's another. That I would tell to somebody that stole some candy. If you stole a piece of candy, you know what I would say? God will forgive you if you're willing to repent.
Amen.
It's the same message I told him, regardless of what you've done.
Amen.
God will forgive you.
Amen.
You're going to have to suffer the consequences.
Amen.
But God will forgive you.
Amen.
That's my message this morning.
Good man.
If you are on the verge of making some decisions,
yes,
always consider God.
Amen.
And manage your no's.
Amen.
They may not like you. They may laugh at you. They may talk about you. They may wonder why you don't join them in their foolishness. But listen, one decision can cause you to suffer for the rest of your life. Just look around.
Amen.
Because we all carry a little bit of peace of pain and sorrow in our heart.
Amen.
For things that we've done. So we try to tell the youth, listen to our stories. And when we share our pain, receive it. So that you don't have to cry like mama. And you don't have to suffer like daddy. You don't have to go through what grandma went through. You can go down a different path. My mother told me, Willie, don't you ever drink. But she didn't just tell me don't drink. And I said this in the first service, I've never drank before. But she says, look at your uncles. I had some people that were close to me that I could observe.
Man.
And she said, hey, listen, don't. And I've even had them come and say, hey, listen, don't do this. Yeah. And you know what I decided to do? I just decided to listen. It wasn't that I was stronger or why. It's just I decided to listen.
Amen.
I pray that you listen this morning.
Amen.
Living a life of Christ and in Christianity is much better than trying to find your own way. If there's some things that you're doing, maybe right now, but before it get too bad, maybe right now, what would happen if you would just stop? Like right now, what would happen if you would just, like, stop? Some of you, you need to get offline. Some of you, right now, you know you need to change your phone number, like right yesterday. There are some people right now that have access to you that whenever they could, it creates a bad chemistry. There's some people you gotta, listen, I can't go to heaven with you. We can't do this. We're not gonna be able to make it together. What if right now you would just say no because the thing that you're suffering from is the thing you're saying yes to? Now, it may cause you to be uncomfortable, but there's nothing like going to bed at night in peace.
Amen.
And trust in God that whatever you say no to is because you're saying yes to him. And his gifts are far better than anything that the world can provide. I want you to keep yourself. I want you to watch your behavior. Watch where you go. Watch those things that you do. There are some decisions you can quickly turn around from. But there are some decisions, there is no exit. You're going to have to ride that road out. And we want to prevent you from going there. I've gone through various scriptures. I've made various illustrations. But prayerfully and hopefully, the lesson that was covered this morning has brought us all closer to the cross. If you're here and you're not a Christian, maybe it's time for you to stop and come to Christ. Amen. And give your life to Christ. You have to be tired. If you have not put Christ on in back, you have to be tired because that's not working. Amen. Maybe it's time to turn to Christ and give an opportunity to do all those things that he's promised in his word. In order for you to do that, you must believe that he died for you, that he was buried and that he rose again. The gospel is a love story. If you'll be willing to repent and confess that he is the Son of God, and if you're willing to be baptized, then the Bible says you will be buried with him and you will rise in the newness of life. Amen. And today you can become a Christian and everything you've done can be washed away. Amen. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you believe your actions and your deeds have not been pleasing and acceptable unto God, repent. Sometimes what hinders a relationship from being restored is that you're arguing back and forth about the details when the person is just waiting for you to just say, I'm sorry. Amen. Maybe right now, if you would just repent, and a repentance is an acknowledgement that what you've done is wrong. What if you would just repent? Maybe God is just waiting on you to just repent. And then we can move on. Don't you want to move on? Ain't it time to stop going around and round and round in foolishness? Isn't it time to move forward? I pray that you receive this with your whole heart. This invitation is now yours. I pray you receive it with your whole heart as we together stand and sing a verse of a song.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. You know that each victory will live.
If there's anything that you need to let go of, if there's anything that you need to turn from, this is your opportunity now.